The children of Israel observed their first Passover in Egypt on the 14th day of the first month of the Hebrew calendar in 1447 B.C. And they began their journey out of Egypt from Ramses on the following night, the night to be much observed. God delivered the children of Israel from a horrible condition of slavery and promised to take them to the promised land. God forcibly delivered the children of Egypt from Egypt, from sin, to take them to the promised land. God has delivered us from our own personal Egypt, our sin. Through the perfect sacrifice of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, we have been delivered to walk in newness of life, so that we may run our race and enter our promised land, the kingdom of God. For the last 7 days, we've been celebrating and observing the days of unleavened bread, which picture coming out of sin. We put the leaven out, we put sin out, and we eat unleavened bread, picturing imbibing the righteousness of God the Father and Jesus Christ. We remove the physical leaven from our homes and property in the days leading up to the days of unleavened bread. During the days of unleavened bread, if we discover any leaven that we may have overlooked or missed during the cleaning period, we immediately discard it. During these last 7 days, we have been contemplating coming out of sin and how we can more effectively come out of the sins that, as we read in Hebrews 12, that so easily beset us. Coming out of sin is not something that we should do only for 7 days in the year, but we should do it 365 days every year. We discard the leaven of sin and replace the sin with the righteousness of God, our Father, and Jesus Christ, our Savior, and the Holy Spirit. Today I'm going to discuss a plan for coming out of sin and inviting the righteousness of God. And I reduced this plan to 5 steps. And the title that I've given this presentation is A Plan for Coming Out of Sin. A Plan for Coming Out of Sin. Step 1. The first step in our plan for coming out of sin is to rededicate ourselves, each and every one of us, to seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Now Jesus has just exhorted His disciples not to worry. Not to worry about food and drink, and not to worry about clothing. But He said, the birds don't sow and reap, and yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. And He speaks of how beautiful lilies are. And He says that Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And He says in verse 31 of Matthew 6, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. And He goes on to say, in verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things that you don't worry about will be added to you. So our prayer should be, Father, please help us to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. Father, please help the number one goal in our lives to be eternal life in your kingdom. Please help our being in your kingdom to be more important to us than anything else in our lives. More important than our spouses, our families, our jobs, our hobbies, and everything else in our lives.
Father, please help us to keep our priorities in the right order. Please help us to live our lives in a way that is pleasing to you. Please work mightily in us to replace our unrighteous carnal natures with your perfect righteous nature. Father, please perform a mighty miracle on our brain cells and change us from the inside out. Change the way we think. Change the way we are. And so the first step in our plan for coming out of sin is to rededicate ourselves to seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Step two. The second step in our plan for coming out of sin is to invite and beseech God the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ, to dwell in each of us in a more active, more powerful way to help us to grow and to overcome. Jesus promised his disciples on the night before he was crucified that he and the Father would come and make their home with anyone who loves Jesus and keeps his word. John 14, verse 23. John 14, verse 23, Jesus answered and said to him, and this scripture we read during the Passover service, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. So let us all invite and beseech God the Father, His Son, Jesus Christ, to live in us in a more active and more powerful way. Father, please help us to be seed sown on good ground. As Jesus mentioned in Matthew 13, verse 8. Father, in whatever way, we are not seed sown on good ground. Please, in your mercy, change us by a miracle to be good ground and bear good fruit. Father, please help us all to be wise virgins instead of foolish. According to Jesus' parable in Matthew 25, which is in verses 1 through 13, in whatever way that we're being foolish virgins, please help us to repent of our foolishness and please bless us with more of your Holy Spirit. Please fill our lamps with more oil. Help us to have an overflowing amount of oil in our lamps as the wise virgins have. Father, please fill us all with your Holy Spirit and please gift us all with all of the gifts of the Spirit that the Apostle Paul listed in 1 Corinthians 12. And so the second step in our plan for coming out of sin is to beseech God the Father that He and His Son, Jesus Christ, will live in us in a more active and a more powerful way to help us to grow and to overcome. The third step in our plan for coming out of sin is to stay connected to the true vine, Jesus Christ. John the 15th chapter, beginning in verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. So Jesus is the true vine, and His Father is the vine dresser. This is a team effort. A team effort by the two members of the God family who totally agree in every way. Verse 2, John 15.
every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. So the Father removes the branches that do not bear fruit. We should all pray that God would help us to bear more fruit so that we, and that fruit glorifies the Father. And the Father is going to prune us all so that we will bear more fruit. We're all going to be corrected. We're going to be tested. We're going to be disciplined so that we may be partakers of His holiness. In Hebrews 12, verse 10, hold your place there in John 15 and turn to Hebrews 12. The writer speaks of the discipline of God. There is a title given here in the New King James. And he says that, quoting from the Old Testament, in verse 5, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son that he receives." And why does he do that? Well, reading in verse 10, "For they indeed, speaking of our earthly fathers, chastened us as seemed best to them, but he, God, for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness." So God prunes us, he tests us, he corrects us, he disciplines us, so that we can partake of his holiness. Back to John, the 15th chapter, verse 3. He tells his disciples on that evening, "You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you." And we are all clean. Those of us who are converted through the process of conversion that we have gone through and continue to go through. Verse 4, "Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." So we must abide in the vine, and we cannot bear any fruit unless we abide in Jesus. Verse 5, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit." Notice it's a dual. We abide in him, he abides in us, and we bear much fruit. For he says, "Without me, apart from me, you can do nothing." Nothing spiritually. So if we abide in Jesus and he in us, we will bear much fruit. Without Jesus in us, we can do nothing spiritually, Jesus said. The future is not good for those who do not continue to abide in Jesus. Verse 6, "For we read, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned." And so those who don't abide in Jesus, who don't stay connected to the vine, will be cast out as a branch and withered and be burned up in the lake of fire, the second death. Who gets all the credit? God does. God the Father does. Verse 7, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." So the third step in our plan for coming out of sin is to stay connected to the true vine, Jesus the Christ. The fourth step in our plan for coming out of sin involves the process of repentance. Coming out of sin describes the whole process of repentance. Repentance, according to anxieties involves regret or sorrow accompanied by a true change of heart toward God. We're very deeply sorrowful and saddened by the past sin that we have committed. And we ask God to forgive us. And the other part of repentance is to turn around and go a different way and not repeat the same sin. So it involves regret or sorrow accompanied by a true change of heart toward God, going in a different direction with a different heart. We have deep sorrow for our sins against God, deep sorrow for our violations of His law, and deeply desire to have a permanent change of heart toward God. We humbly ask God to apply the perfect sacrifice of His Son to us and to forgive us through that sacrifice and that blood of that sacrifice to forgive us for all of our sin. We want to obey and please Him and should repent when we disobey. God commands, and I can turn the scriptures for each one of these, God commands repentance in the book of Acts when Paul was preaching to the Athenians, and he desires all to come to repentance in 2 Peter. God, through His goodness, in the book of Romans, grants us repentance. And He grants repentance as the Jews in Jerusalem, when they castigated Peter for eating with Cornelius and the Gentiles, after Peter had rehearsed what happened and how they spoke in tongues, then the people commented that then God has granted them repentance. It's about Acts 10 or 11. It is verse 18 of Acts 11. When they heard these things, they became silent. After Peter had rehearsed how he had seen the miracle and been told to go. And when he was speaking to Cornelius and the crowd that gathered, they began to speak in tongues. And he said in verse they speak in tongues, verse 46, can anyone forbid water? Verse 47, that these should not be baptized through the sleep of the Holy Spirit, just as He did. And He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And they asked Him to stay with them. And so when they heard this recounting of what had happened in verse 18, they glorified God, saying, and God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. So, God commands and desires all to come to repentance. God, through His goodness, grants us repentance. This state of repentance must last for the remainder of our human life. Which of the commandments do you and I struggle to keep? Do we have a problem? Keep on breaking. In the work that I do, you know, I have a special project. And I've got two special projects coming up starting tomorrow and next week. Well, guess what? Last night, that's all I could seem to think about is what I got to do on this rig down in Louisiana, what I've got to do on this rig offshore. Now, Satan and his demons can put thoughts in our minds to kind of urge us to sin. So I had trouble keeping the Sabbath last night, this high-day Sabbath, because of thinking about work. And I finally just had to pray, well, Father, just help this not be able to come into my mind. Help me to think about instead. Turn back to Exodus 20th chapter. Which of these commandments
do you and I struggle to keep? Do you struggle with having some other God? Be it your family, your spouse, your hobbies? Do you struggle having another God? Do you struggle in a fit of anger with taking God's name in vain? You were so used to doing that before you came into the church. Do you struggle with that? Do you struggle with remembering the Sabbath day to keep it holy? Like I did last night and this morning. Because you were mistreated as a child. Do you struggle with honoring your mother and your father? Or do you struggle with having hatred toward others, which is the same as murder, or fornication, or adultery, sexual sins, or the urge to steal, or to lie, or to covet? Which one of these commandments do you struggle with? So we should confess the sins that we struggle with over and over. Struggle to overcome to God and ask Him to change us from the inside out. So it's not a problem anymore. Turn to 1 John 1. First John 1. Here's a process that we can go through to overcome some of these things that hang on to us for years and years and years. 1 John 1, the beginning in verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, verse 7, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So, we need to walk in the light, have fellowship with one another. And if we do that, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, will cleanse us from all sin. All of those sins that we struggle with, the commandment breaking that we struggle to keep, can be covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, cleansing us of all of our sins. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. You know, the Apostle Paul said in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we're all sinners. And if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And verse 9 is a key verse here. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a promise. And so when you struggle with the same sins over and over and over again, then confess those sins. It's certainly a good idea to be fasting when you do it. Confess those sins, and He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all. There's that all unrighteousness. And if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. So we should confess the sins that we struggle with overcoming. And we should ask God to reveal to us the sins that we commit that we are not even aware of. And so, Father, please grant us a deeper repentance. And that repentance must last for the rest of our human life. And so the fourth step in our plan for overcoming, for coming out of sin, involves repentance and remaining deeply repentant for the remainder of our human life. The fifth step in our plan for coming out of sin is to seek God's help in controlling our thoughts. bringing all of our thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Father, please help us to bring all of our thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Sin starts with a thought, according to the Apostle James. In James 1. Turn to James 1. James 1, beginning in verse 14. James 1, 14. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticements. Sin starts with a thought. And we need to bring that thought into captivity to obedience of Christ. In other words, be instant in prayer. As we read in Romans 12:12. When a wrong thought comes to mind, when a thought comes to mind, it is a violation of one of the Ten Commandments. Be instant in prayer. Father, help me not to dwell on these thoughts. Help my mind not to go there. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. And then, if we play around with the sin in our mind and cozy up to it, then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. So let's be instant in prayer. Father, please help my mind not to go there. Please create in me a clean heart, O God. Psalm 51. King David committed a horrible sin with Bathsheba. And the child that they had born out of wedlock died. And David repented deeply, and his words have been, of course, given in Psalm 51. And he says in verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. That's a good prayer for all of us in prayer. Father, please create in me a clean heart and a good attitude, a steadfast spirit. So the fifth step in our plan for coming out of sin is to bring all of our thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ. The Holy Scriptures pronounce a blessing on those who come out of sin, who repent, and who are forgiven. Turn one last closing scripture, Psalm, the 32nd chapter. Psalm 32. Verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. Today, we've gone through a 5-step plan for coming out of sin. Step 1. Let's all rededicate ourselves to seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Step 2, invite and beseech God the Father and Jesus Christ to dwell in each of us in a more active, a more powerful way. Step 3, stay connected to the true vine, Jesus Christ. Step 4, repent and remain deeply repentant for the remainder of our human life. Step 5, bring all of our thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ. May God help us all to institute all 5 of these steps in our plan for coming out of sin, so that we will glorify God with the spiritual fruit that we bear.